JG 1. Number 22A.
We now go on to the next vertical, which would be the Christ vertical. And this is now another forward development from the Word. We know that these are not in watertight compartments, not like flowing from mind to spirit to soul to principle, life, truth, and love. That isn't in a watertight compartment, nor are the levels of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, as we've seen, they flow together. One can't separate them. And the same with the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. They flow, but there's a logic of the flow. There's a reason why the Word is where it is and that Christianity is the third in the flow and it's not second. We should ask ourselves these things. And why science is fourth and not second, or why science isn't third. It's just as little exercises to help us understand the logical flow when being opens itself up to a fourfold process of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Always the second column builds on the first. So we'll right away see in our logical reasoning that the Christ looks back to the Word and verifies what the Word says. It's just like the divine mind says, I'm the all-knowing mind. And the spirit looks back at the divine mind and says, yes, mind, and you're the only reality. And soul looks back at mind and spirit and says, and mind and spirit constitutes our identity. And I, soul, keep mind and spirit one through the translation and retranslation. And then principle comes and says, and now I'm always operating that identity through a self-organizing system as life, truth, and love. So it's every one of these particular categories as they unfold are in a logical sequence, and the same here with the Christ. Now, we see then that the Christ is a vertical, then that has as a point of intersection, Christ is divine science is represented by the truth, Christ at absolute Christian science by truth, life, and love, and Christ on Christian science by principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. So we have to ask ourselves, why are those supra symbols there? What do they represent? What do they mean? So therefore we have to again build up the tonality of the place value of each of those terms. We do that, we know, by looking at our survey, which appears on page 64 in the study aid. So that survey, now we can see that we now are going to build from the Word to the Christ. And the most important point to see is just take these roof categories and see that the Word is saying, well, that the Word of God always means a declaration, it always means an explanation, it always means a presentation of what God is. We have that tonality from where it says the self-declaration. So we say, oh, that's right, a word means a statement. It's a self-statement of God, the self-declaration of God. Now we go on to the Christ and we hear that self, that says it's a self-expression. Do we hear something different? Is it saying the same thing as the Word said? No, it's saying it's self-expression. Is there something different between a self-statement and a self-expression? Sure. It now means that this is expressing something. And what is it expressing? It's expressing itself, it's expressing the Word. That the Christ sets the Word in operation. Everything that we have learned through the law of interdependence was just a statement in the Word. That all was just stating that our life is a divine success mechanism. Without the Christ, it wouldn't happen. We loved law, didn't we? We thought, oh, wow, our life is a success. But it's because of the Christ that law gets into operation and comes right down to our specific situation and overturns everything in us that isn't like that law. So without the Christ, the word wouldn't happen. It's the Christ that gives the inner dynamics through its translation and retranslation through the first translation, which brings that law of interdependence in the Word, that law of the divine success mechanism, right to the universe, including man, including all mankind and ourselves. So thank goodness for the Christ. And what the Christ does is bring it to us, and it takes away everything in us that isn't like that word. That everything in us that wouldn't want that success mechanism to work in us through its phase transition. So we'll begin to be hearing a lot of dynamic qualities when we work with this Christ vertical. It takes on the tonality like a big gushing waterfall, you know, pouring down, bringing its power to us. So to look at this in a lot closer detail, let's turn to page 66 now in the study aid, and that just now gives us a little closer look at what the general survey is saying.
Section 6. Thank you.
So here on this particular diagram, which is a closer view of just focusing on the Christ itself, we now know that the column over to the left of the page has to do with the levels of consciousness. So we work first in our questionnaire that I sent out to you. I was asking to gather some references from Science and Health that would show how the Christ appears on Divine Science, how it appear on Absolute Christian Science, and then how Mrs. Eddy shows it appears on Christian Science. So I made life easy and just made reference here to the Christ as we see it in the study aid and said, well, we can refer back to this and this will help us out as it is explained here. So if we look up in the textbook on page 313, we needn't do it because the reference is already right here for us. We see that Mrs. Eddy talks about how Christ is the Son of God. Now, does she have Son in lowercase or in uppercase? Upper, as it's printed. Now, do you think that's significant?
Sure.
Because, why, Dick, do you think that's significant?
Because he's also the Son of Man.
Okay. And when anything is capitalized, what does it all refer to?
God.
Okay. So, therefore, we see that the Christ here is the Son of God. That doesn't mean Jesus. It means God, because it's capitalized. So it means then that God is the Son. No Jesus is involved here. That at this point, especially you can see that place value of principle and idea is one of divine science, and this one is principle. It's all just about principle God, and not about the individual man Jesus. So Son represents the office of God, called the Christ. Jesus doesn't enter in at all. And that's why it's capitalized. And so in the Apocalypse, Mrs. Eddy shows very clearly how God is the Son, meaning that it is an office in being, and how therefore the Son is really a triune principle of Father, Son, Mother, taking it from that biblical connotation. We translate it now into the language that we understand out of the biblical connotation, and Son always is that which does what in being. If the Father is the is the that which is declaring itself. What does the Son do? It's always affirming what the Father has, doesn't it? It always expresses what the Father has, always claims the inheritance, affirms the inheritance. All right? So that's why that is at the point of divine science. The next reference that Christ expresses God's spiritual eternal nature, as we see on page 333, line 9 in the textbook. We certainly hear now that sense that the Christ is operating, the Christ is in an office of expressing God's spiritual eternal nature. It's that we'll hear that it's the Christ expresses God's nature. It's really what we see is God is taking on the office of the Christ, which is expressing its nature. Then we see that she says Christ is the ideal of God on page 361-4. Here, the Christ is still at the standpoint of divine science because she says Christ is the ideal of God. Does she say Christ is the ideas? All the ideas go to make up the Christ. That ideal is in the singular, isn't it? So in the singular, that means a lot, and it's divine science because it's always principle as ideas. One in this one is principle. It again stands for the ideal Christ, for the whole Christ. We'll talk about that some more as we get over to the survey. Then she talks about the Christ truth. Well, we certainly know that she's just equating there Christ with truth. All right, then we look up some more references to the Christ in the textbook, and we say, oh, she also talks about the Christ on page 34, line 5, as Christ is Emmanuel, or God with us. Should that really been on divine science, that reference? No. Why, Dave, do you think maybe not?
It's more specified. In a sense, I guess I'm lost.
No, you're just perfect. That's all you have to say. You explained it beautifully. Okay. You didn't even say any more than that. That's right. Dave said that the Christ, when I read the reference, Christ is Emmanuel or God with us, he could just hear the tonality. It's not divine science because it's more a lot more specific. Well, that's the office of absolute Christian science. When the Christ brings the principle, that ideal of divine science right down to the specifics because it's Emmanuel, God with us. That's absolute Christian science, with us ideas. Not Emmanuel, God with the universe, that's the ideal, is the universe, the ideal idea. Hear the tonality? Principle and idea in the singular is one on divine science. But absolute Christian science is the relationship of principle to its ideas. This is the singular, to specific idea. So that's where Christ is Emmanuel is always absolute Christian science, God with all of its ideas. That principle is with all its forms. Well, really, that principle is individualized. It's still remaining the principle. It is all its forms, so it naturally is with it. Then she says, Christ, the true idea of God, on page 54. Again, meaning the specific, the true idea. One has a feeling, well, that's not the ideal. Christ, the true idea of God, having much more a sense, well, it's the true idea amongst other ideas. It has a little bit more of a focus of a specific spiritual idea. Then one sees that Christ is leading into all truth. That one's a little easier on page 332, line 19. Can we hear that as absolute Christian science? Christ leading into all truth with the lowercase t You see, because with a capitalized T, it would be on divine science. Truth, the whole of divine science, is leading into all truths of absolute Christian science, lowercase. We begin to hear the tonality of the place value. Then she says, Christ, truth alone can furnish us with absolute evidence, on page 142. Can furnish us, again, the city of our God, the specifics, calculus, the specific ideas is always absolute Christian science, so that Christ's truth is furnishing us, the individual truths, with absolute evidence. Thank goodness that it comes to us. It's the Emmanuel. It knows us. We're glad about that, aren't we? Then on Christian science, we see that on page 143, line 3 in the textbook, that Christ casts out evils and heals the sick. Would that be divine science? No, because it's dealing with the opposite. That's right, Sue. Our tonality of the system already tells us, oh no, that principle doesn't know error on divine science. It's excluded. And it's excluded on absolute Christian science also. It's only working with positive values, isn't it? So right away we say, oh no, it's a level of Christian science, she said, came to save humanity. So that's the relationship of principles' impact on error. So right away we say, oh well, when she says that Christ casts out evils and heals the sick, she's talking about that Christ comes right down to our situation on the human and heals the sick. Isn't that wonderful? To know that, and we must know that in practice. And believe of that. Mrs. Eddy says in one of these watches, you know, that she wrote out, that we must heal ourselves of the belief that Christian science doesn't heal. It does heal. It says right here that Christ casts out evils and heals the sick. Can't be any clearer than that. The Christ does it. It's just that we got to get out of the way and become transparent and let it happen, because it does work. We know that. Then it says, Christ turns water into wine. Oh my. Why is that Christian science? Why isn't that on the, perhaps on the absolute Christian science level? That might be nice to say that Christ turns water into wine on line 60, on page 65, line 3 in absolute Christian science.
Translation and retranslation.
Oh, all right. That's good that she. Betty said that the Christ comes to us and is it's somehow she hears a phase transition going on there. It's turning something into something. So her tonality already tells her, well, that's a retranslation, some kind of phase translation, and that doesn't take place on absolute Christian science, does it? Does it need to go through a phase translate? Does there need to be a phase translation? Oh, on divine science?
No.
Oh, okay. No?
She might not know.
Okay. All right, so I asked that question before we had a stop, a few moments of, would Christ turning water into wine be a standpoint of absolute Christian science? And Betty said, oh no, that is a phase translation. And then Dave said, that's right, that it belonged on the Christian science level, because really Christ takes the elements of the human mind or a thought process. Water always stood for thinking mind, the elements of mind in the Bible, and turned it into inspiration, or the elements of the divine mind, is one way of looking at it. Okay, and that's Christian science, because it's going through a phase translation. All right? Now, how about Christ improves on a false sense, page 493. Would that be divine science? No, because it doesn't know. Would it be absolute Christian science? No, because it's coming to the human, isn't it? And what is it doing? It's lifting us out of a false sense into a higher sense. And that certainly is a phase translation, which we know at Christian Science. Well, that's good. I think, you see, we become good at text interpretation. One can see if one has the tonality of these capitalized terms, this text interpretation is becoming easier and easier. We just begin to hear the categories. It becomes sense as we reason. And if we don't hear it right away, as I said, try putting it in the next category, you see. That always explains it, because you can hear, well, it wouldn't be so good in the other one, and then try to figure out why. That's always a trick of text interpretation to help us along a little bit. Okay, now let's go to the survey. Take the third column over. So we have seen then that the Christ is represented by the Son, and that the Son now stands for God itself, or truth. The Christ truth is the Son. That's how it was used. So that means that being God has its own Son, its own Christ, its own self-operation. The being has within itself its own inner dynamics. And that's what it's shown there when it says as Son, that the Son is self-expression. That just means that within being is the inner dynamics of being, the inner logic within being to express the Word. The Christ is that which is going to set the Word in operation at this point. But it's just there as an ideal, you see. It's beginning to operate out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. And so that ideal, which really exists in that matrix of infinity, which has come forth and been declared in the Word, our whole ideal of ourselves is latent within the matrix of infinity, and it begins to move and be restructured, and we come booming out of that matrix of infinity as the Word being declared by the one life itself. And as that one life declares our identity, it is that creative impulsion behind our identity, which is saying our identity comes forth always as a fact and already always fulfilled. And therefore that identity of the Word is life, truth, and love, is impelling mind to bring forth our identity in a creative way. And life, truth, and love is impelling spirit to unfold our identity. Life, truth, and love is impelling soul to identify our identity definitely. Life, truth, and love is impelling principle to operate our identity within the system. Life, truth, and love is impelling life to exalt it within the system, to progress it within the system. Life, truth, and love is impelling truth to give that identity its ideal form within the system. And life, truth, and love is impelling love to give it its place within the plan and the system. That's that law of gold causality. That law of the success mechanism says that we already come forth as a fact and fulfilled, already seeing the end from the beginning, that we are then, through that Word vertical, have a plan, and that plan is being brought out. That is a statement. Now we see that is going to be as expressed as the ideal. That ideal is going to come out. And so the ideal that is expressed is the Word. As I said, it's that whole Word law of interdependence of the Word now becomes the ideal to God. It becomes the truth itself. The truth. That's why it's on divine science, because it's the truth itself. It's the ideal itself. But then, as that law of the word is now seen as the ideal truth itself, it's being set into operation by the Christ, and it now comes forth as being self-realized, or we could say self-actualized. You know how they talk about self-actualization? Now we get the self-actualization of the word itself. It isn't just left as a statement, but it's realized. But it realizes itself. We don't need to realize our ideal. The Christ is self-realizing it for us. Every minute of the day, it's constantly realizing its ideal about us. Isn't that wonderful? That it's constantly realizing its ideal called individual ideas. And it's always realizing it by translating that ideal right down to every situation. It's translating that ideal about us right down to our specific situation, as it's doing to everyone. Everyone is being realized as the ideal idea. As the ideal idea, or we could say it's realizing itself as the ideal specific truth of a situation.